Hi, my name is Brian Higbee, and I would like to welcome you to the City Church Podcast. It is our hope that this podcast will not only bless you, but cause the kingdom of God to grow within you and the world around you. Come on, let's listen in. You know, I've talked to you about my trip to India and how walking in the dust, you know, that dust just gets on you, right? You have to breathe it in, unfortunately. And at times you just need to clean that stuff out, right? This is one of those times. God is so good. Touch someone, say, God is so good. Yes, Lord. You don't mind if I have a little lunch while you're sitting there watching me, do you? Anybody mind? Let me see your hands if you mind. Oh, yes. Nice. It bothers you? Father, this is an opportunity for them to be healed in Jesus' name and become selfless. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you can come take some with me if you'd like. Yeah. Yep. That is good. You know, we do this often because the Lord said, as often as you will do this, in remembrance of me. You don't have to wait for church, for communion. It's really important. He's so rude. I didn't say you couldn't go get a loaf. I want you to see this maybe in a little bit different light today. We can't go through the motions. What God is calling us to, we just simply, you can't get to if you just keep doing the same things over and over again. You know, that you've heard it said that if you keep doing the same thing over and over again and expect a different result, they have a word for that. I mean, that's insanity. The other day we were looking for something up in our garage. I had the three boys. We were looking for something, and it struck me I needed to give them this instruction, because we have a tendency to keep going the same path we've been on. And even when we're searching for something, we keep going on the same path we've been on, right? And we were looking for two boxes of fittings, bits, for impact guns. They're big, bright DeWalt plastic boxes. And we found one of them, but there were two more to be found. And I noticed that the boys they kept going to the same place and looking in the same place over and over again. And I was doing the same thing. And it struck me, if I approach my situation the same way every time, I'm going to get the same results. Are you with me?
Yeah.
See, because we're finite, but God is infinite. He sees things perfectly. He sees them from every direction. You know, this loaf of bread, you see it from that direction. Maybe you can't see if I turn it around, if I change the perspective of this bread, you can see where I tore it off, right? Anybody see that?
Yeah.
But if I wouldn't have turned that loaf of bread, you wouldn't have been able to see that. In other words, if you continue to look at things the same way you've been looking at them, and that's what religion does. Religion tries to hardwire the way we look at things, believing somehow that's pleasing to God. That says that if I continue to look at things the exact same way, if I keep doing the same thing over and over and over again, that somehow that will cause me to please God and He will bless that. But our God is not a stale or stagnant God. He is a creative God. And he wants us to be creative with him. He wants us to explore with him. He wants us to be able to look at things differently. More importantly, the way he sees them, which is infinite. And the only way we can do that is if we partner with him in that process. And so communion, we know that the cup represents the blood of Jesus, right? But more than that, it can also be seen in the shape of the cross, right? That this component, the vertical, is our relationship with the Lord, right? And that's what this represents. This represents your function, your ability to ascend to the Lord and live from heaven to earth. Do you see that? Okay, it's the vertical component. This is what Jesus had to do in order for mankind to be restored. Because that is once the way things were, right? In the garden, there was no separation between heaven and earth. It was all in one. But because of the sin of mankind, or said another way, because of mankind turning away from God, God had to honor the intent of mankind, that his intention was going to be different than God's intention, and allow him to create his own world, but then he would see the fruit of his intentions. Are you with me? Does this make sense? And so this represents our restoration as sons and daughters of God into that place of being seated with him, of living from heaven to earth, of having being in that love, that deep, deep, deep love relationship with God, and releasing that here on the earth, okay? And of course, this somebody tell me what this represents. The body of Christ. And who is the body of Christ? We are. Touch someone and say, we are. So this says, I am connecting on this, in this direction, but this says that I'm connecting in this direction. This is the cross is made up of two components, and neither one is more important than the other. If I have this, then I will have this. If this is incorrect, as someone used the word this morning when we were praying, if this is incorrect alignment, then this will be incorrect alignment. And if this, but you can't have this, you can't have the horizontal, you can't have relationship in the church without having the vertical relationship. And there, look, there have been many who have said, man, I went to church all my life, but I didn't have a relationship with Jesus. And see, that horizontal was not in correct alignment. God is wanting to bring into alignment or to realign those. And we have to do that now and then, right? I mean, I said to Dave when we were talking about that, Dave Carriere, the guitar player, I said, look, even the very best guitars need tuned now and then. They get out of tune. They have to be adjusted, right? Even the best. And so, the problem is we can talk about a lot of things in church, and you could leave here feeling good without being in right alignment. And God wants us to be in right alignment, right? With him, in our identity with him, in all of that, right? And in correct alignment with each other, with the body of Christ. See, it's in that correct alignment. It's in this correct alignment that we find that we have a different spirit. And I want to talk about that today. Let me offer to you that the spirit that you are led by will determine your appetite. Whatever spirit. So here's what you need to look at. You say, yeah, Pastor, I just have these, man, these really wrong desires. Like I desire, you know, this, and I know it's wrong, but I'm just letting you know that I desire that. And some people would say, well, you just got to pray harder, or you just need to confess more, or you just need to repent more, or you just need to. Now look, that you're making it way too complex. It's very simple. It really is. I'm going to borrow from what I preached on a couple weeks ago. It's really as simple as I'm going this way. I'm out of alignment. And I need to turn and look at his face and go this way. How many of you know the Word of God says that God is light, right? When I'm walking in this direction, I see no shadow. I see no darkness. Darkness has no effect over me. It has no ability. It has no power over me. I don't care if there's darkness standing in front of me. I am overpowered by the light of God, and I am not walking in a shadow. However, if I am out of alignment, I'm continually walking in a shadow. I'm walking in my own self creates the darkness that I'm swallowed up by. Not devils. I create the shadow I am walking in. Why? Because I'm out of alignment. Everyone say out of alignment. And so look, when Jesus was moving us from the old covenant, which is a covenant of sin and death, to the new covenant, the law of the Spirit of life, when he was moving us into that new place, he sent someone to go before him. He came, and he sent someone after him. John the Baptist came before him and prepared the road that not only he would go on, but also we would go on, because he prepared the way for us. Amen? And so John the Baptist came and said, behold, the one who makes straight those ways that are crooked or narrow or impassable. And John began to prophesy, and he said these words. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, right? That's what he said. Repent. And here's all the word repent means. Stop. Everyone say stop. Stop. Now listen, that's an important word. Because, you know, sometimes we like holding on to the old ways. We like holding on to those things of darkness. We like holding on because we're comfortable with them. We know those things. And they our old man is soothed by them. But listen, my old man needs to die. That's why we go into the waters of baptism, which we just did a couple weeks ago. Because the old man stays in those waters. A new man, everyone say a new man. That's not gender. That has nothing to do with gender. A new man comes out of those waters, and what happens? He desires, she desires new things, right? And that's what happens is we stop, we turn, and we go toward him, right? But listen, there's just a little bit more that I want you to see. So let's go back in the midst of the forming of the people of God. Moses leads the people out of Egypt, right? He's leading the people out of Egypt. He has his lieutenant, Joshua, and there's another Joshua's buddy named Caleb, right? Every family has to have a Joshua and Caleb. Come on, somebody, right? And so... So Moses sends 12 spies out into the land. The 12 spies go out. 10 of them come back with, they're both saying the same things, but they're saying it in a different way. Depending on what spirit you're led by will determine how you say things, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you hear someone, all they do is speak of fear. All they do is speak of the evil that is in the land, they're being led by a certain kind of spirit, because out of your heart you will speak. If you have fear in your heart, fear will come out. If you have confusion in your heart, confusion will come out. If you have peace in your heart, peace will come out. If you have confidence in your heart, confidence will come out. Are you with me? You will know what is in someone's heart. I'm sorry, you will know what spirit someone is being led by what is in their heart, by what comes out of their mouth, right? In other words, you know what spirit someone is being led by the fruit you see them bear. So not only do you know what appetite they have, but you also know what fruit it is they have. You know what spirit they're being led by, right? Does that make sense? So 10 spies come back. They're being led by the spirit of fear. They said, yeah, there's fruit in the land. We see food. Everyone say, we see food. But the giants are in the land. Now, what they're saying is the fruit is the grapes and the pomegranates and the figs and all those kind of things which minister to their natural body, right? But Joshua and Caleb say the same thing, but they say it a different way. They said, yeah, there's fruit in the land, and we see the fruit. But listen, let me give you some scripture to back this up. Numbers chapter 13, verse 27, we went into the land where you sent us. It certainly does flow with milk and honey. This is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong. The cities are fortified, very large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. We saw the giants. There's giants in the land. We're scared. Don't you know they're giants? We can't go there. They're giants. Listen to what they're saying. We can't get to the food of the land, what God, you promised us. We can't get to the promises of God because giants are blocking our way. Verse 30. Caleb quieted the people, said, we should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we're not able to go up against the people, for they're too strong for us. Numbers 14, next chapter, verse 6. Joshua tore his clothes. Have you ever been so angry you tear your clothes? So distraught, so overcome that you literally tear your clothes. That's how upset he was. And he spoke to the congregation saying, the land which we passed through is exceedingly good land. It is good land. Everyone say it is good land. The promises of God are always good. Touch someone and say, the promises of God are always good. If the Lord is pleased with us, oh, okay. If the Lord is pleased through us, then he'll bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Joshua saying, okay, look, there's food in the land. It's flowing with milk and honey. And if the Lord is pleased with us, he'll surely give it to us. Now watch what he says in verse 9. Only do not rebel against the Lord. I want you to hear that. I want you to just pause right there and hear those words. What does Joshua define as rebelling? Not going after the promises of God because of the giants. God calls you not pursuing God's promises for you as you rebelling. Well, I'm still going to heaven. Really? That's what your Christian walk has been reduced to? You going to heaven. I don't know you could be much more self-centered than that. We are called to agape, to a lifestyle of giving of ourselves. I'm speaking to believers here. If you're not a believer, this doesn't apply to you. You are not under the same accountability of those of us who are. You got bigger fish to fry. If Jesus is not Lord of your life, you're in trouble. If something happens to you today without you giving your life to Jesus, you got horrible problems for the rest of eternity. My suggestion to you, and I'm not trying to be callous or trite, my suggestion is give your life to Jesus now. He is Lord of all, and he will be known as Lord of all to all. Last night, when we were at the high school and we were doing the September 11th, I made this statement as I was praying. I got to pray in the beginning and the closing of that event, and it was amazing. It was well put together. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Mayor Lincoln. Thank you, Vern Oler. You guys did a tremendous job. Ryan, our representative, Ryan Warner, thank you. Had a brain moment. Ryan Warner gave just a great speech, as did everyone there. It was an exciting event to take place. But I said this as I prayed. I said, look, there are those who choose not to call themselves of the Lord. I said, we must take the mantle up of not only what we must pray for, but we must take up what they have let go of and pray with their mantle as well. And hopefully they will see the truth and the truth will set them free. But I'm here to tell you that do not toy with Jesus being Lord of your life. If you're watching at home, this is for you. This isn't just for the people that are sitting in these seats. Jesus himself is reaching out and calling to you to be Lord of your life. Do not deny this moment. Listen, we don't need to give an emotional altar call. This is about the Lordship of Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. And it's up to us to bow our knee to that Lord. And I'm telling you, if you do, you have a life that's ahead of you that's so exciting and so amazing, and you will not regret that moment. It won't always be easy, but it will be amazing. If you believe that, just bang your hands together. Yeah, amen. So do not rebel against the Lord. Do not fear the people. Now, one of the things is, it's not the human beings that Joshua is talking about. Because that word people is the same word used for force, army, nation, or even kingdom. In other words, Joshua is saying, do not fear the other kingdom. Do not fear the kingdom of darkness. Do not fear the giants that are in the land. Do not fear the mountains that are against us. Remember, there's one who's coming that will give us a command that says, speak to the mountain and command it to be cast into the sea, and it will be done for you. There's a day coming that will take place, Joshua is saying. And guess what, folks? We are living in that day. We're living in the day when Jesus said to us, speak to the mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it will be done for you. We are living in that day. Come on, somebody. You have that ability. But listen, in order to operate in that ability, you have to be of a different spirit. And listen, you know what spirit someone is being led by how they obey the Lord. Are you with me? I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay, so Joshua said, hey, listen. Don't rebel against the Lord. Don't fear the people. Don't fear the kingdom of darkness of the land. For they are our prey. Or in the King James, it says they are our bread. Everyone say bread.
Bread.
Bread. Wait. So here's 10 guys that are looking at the grapes and saying, that's our food. And there are two guys that are looking in the giants and they're saying, no, 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 no. That's our food. Wait, Pastor. Wait. Back up. Are you telling me that the very things that are coming against me, the things that are the obstacles in my life, the giants in my life, are actually bread? No. No, I'm not telling you that. That's what God says they are. You can disobey me. You better not disobey him. See, later, Later, Caleb goes to Joshua. This is 40 years after this. Oh, by the way, the people of Israel said, hey, nope, we're not going to go. We don't want to go. We're not going to go. And so what happened? They had to go into the desert and all of them be killed off because they were of the wrong spirit. And you can't go and take the land of promise with the wrong spirit. You can't be led by another spirit. And you say, well, you know, why am I not seeing the promises of God unfold in my life? Maybe you're being led by the wrong spirit. Maybe you're not really being led by the Spirit of God. Maybe you're being led by a different spirit. You say, well, are you telling me that God can't bless me even when I'm going the wrong direction? Oh, no, I'm not saying that at all. God is continually trying to bless you. Well, look at it. If God's back behind me, and I've got my hands out like this, and I'm walking away from him, how much of what God is throwing at me will I catch? I can't. It's coming. His blessing is trying to overtake me, but I don't catch it because I'm of the wrong spirit. I'm not being led by the Spirit of God. I'm being led in this direction by another. I'm afraid. I can't go after the giants in my land. I'm afraid. I can't go after the giants in the land. I have no time. I can't go after the giants in the land because my spouse won't let me. I can't go after the giant. Look, there's a the enemy will give you whatever validation you need so you don't have to go after what God wants you to go after. Because see, the moment you turn around, you all of a sudden become an immense threat to darkness. First of all, darkness has no power over you. Why? Because you're no longer walking in darkness, you're walking in light. Not only are you, when you're walking in darkness, are you walking in lack or less than enough, but when you turn and you begin, all of a sudden, look where your hands are. And what God's trying to place in your hands, you can obtain. Come on, somebody. Now listen, I want to say this just very quickly. I just need to do this very quickly. I bind the spirit of pride in Jesus' name. The spirit that says that's not for me, that's for the person beside me. Don't point at anyone right now, all right? But listen, I'm telling you, this is about to take us to a new season. This is about to take us into a new level. This is about to move us into the promises of God and out of lack and into abundance. It's about to move us out of disobedience and into obedience. It's about to take us out of darkness and into light. Now watch this. And so when I turn and I face my giants, because there are my giants, the enemy will always position himself between you and God. People think that darkness is at the in the pits of hell. Oh, no. He will place himself on the seat in front of you in church. Don't point at someone who's in front of you. I'm not talking about the person. He will place himself between you and the word that God is speaking. He will place himself between you and the worship that God desires you to walk in. He will place you between you and your quiet time with the Lord. He will always place himself in a more spiritual position than what you are currently in. If you think you are more spiritual than your enemy, you are gravely mistaken. Devils have been around far longer than you. And they know. Now, but you say, well, wait a minute. If my giants are between me and what God has for me, well, why would God want me to walk in that direction? Because you don't understand. When you turn to the Lord and you begin, because look, we're not turning just to look at the giants. If you just stare at the giants, you're going to get afraid and you'll turn back away. You'll run away. But remember, when you run away from darkness, you're always most vulnerable then because your back is now to darkness. And when darkness is slinging its nasty arrows at you, you have no defense. Remember, the breastplate is in the front. The shield of faith is in the front. You are always meant to attack your enemy, never to run from your enemy. Are you with me? Your enemies are meant by God to be your bread. There is a nutrient that takes place. I'm telling you, God was depositing this word on the inside of me. And then I start hearing others who I really respect preaching on this same thing. And it's the most brilliant thing. God is releasing this word all over the earth right now, I believe. And listen, there is a nutrient that exists in your enemies that will satisfy and cause you to go to the next season of your life that you can't get anywhere else. See, when you turn, you don't look at your enemies. You raise your eyes up and you look at the Lord. The Lord is so much bigger than your enemies. He towers above darkness. He overshadows it. And I'm telling you, there's something about when the man, when the woman of God turns to the Lord and takes a step toward what the Lord has for them, that your enemies realize that you are to be, that they are to be terrified of you. You don't terrify your enemies when you run away from them. Hey, listen. Even bullies are made afraid when you approach them. And see, the amazing part is when I turn like this and his light is shining on me, then what is blinding the eyes of my enemy? The brilliance of his light. Hmm. 40 years later, they come back to the same river. They cross over and they begin to fight. And Israel wins battle after battle after battle. The only battle they lost was one where one man chose to turn away from God. It's the only battle they lost. And Caleb says in verse 7 of Joshua 14, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought word back to him as was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt with fear, but I followed the Lord my God fully. Isn't it amazing how fear masks itself as wisdom? Well, brother, I just don't think you're operating in wisdom. You can't possibly believe, you can't possibly believe that you that God would put the cure, would put healing for COVID in you. It's not wise for you to walk toward COVID. You should be running from it. But that's not what God told me to do. He told me not to fear it. He said that when we breathe, we are breathing out the cure against COVID-19. That's what he said to me. You want to believe something else? You want to run another direction? Go ahead. I don't advise it. I think so often though, well, brother, I don't do that because, well, that's not wisdom. Listen, whatever God, the Spirit of God says to do, that's wisdom. And because your intellect can't quite embrace it yet, doesn't make that wisdom. Are you with me? We have to give our intellect time to catch up to the thinking of God because his ways are far higher than our ways and his thoughts are far higher than our thoughts. Are you with me? Don't think so highly of your intellect that you can't obey God even when you don't understand it. Nevertheless, my brethren who went with me made the people's heart melt with fear, and I followed the Lord, my God, fully. I didn't care what they said or what they thought. I'm going to follow God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land on which your foot is trodden will be an inheritance to you and your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God fully. God wants you to follow God. If the one beside you chooses not to, if the one beside you chooses to run, that's on them. Call them, help them, come back, whatever you need to do. But don't you stop following the Lord because they are not following the Lord.
Amen.
Surely the land on which your foot is trodden will be yours because you followed the Lord fully. Now behold, the Lord has let me live just as he spoke. These 45 years from the time the Lord spoke through this word to Moses when Israel was walking in the wilderness. And behold, now I'm 85 years old today. I'm still as strong today as I was in the day of Moses that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now for war and for going out and coming in. One of the things, when your appetite is right, age has no effect on you. One thing for sure is when your appetite is right, age has no effect on you. I got the same response back here. Now then, give me this hill country which the Lord God spoke, for you heard on that day that Anakim were there and the great fortified cities. Perhaps the Lord will be with me and I will drive them out as the Lord has spoken. So Joshua blessed him, gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Chapter 15, verse 13. Now he gave to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, a portion from among the sons of Judah, according to the command of the Lord to Joshua, namely Kiriath Arba, Arba being the father of Anak, that is Hebron. Verse 14, Caleb drove out, everyone say drove out, from there the three sons of Anak, Sheshai, Ahiman, and Talmai, the children of Anak. Now I want you to see this, and this is where we're going to finish. James 4:7 said, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Watch this, watch this. I'm not resisting the devil. I'm walking away from the Lord, and I'm going the direction the enemy wants me to go. I've heard people say to me, you know, Pastor, it just seems like you're always bumping into devils. And so what you're telling me is you're not. Well, no, not like you do. Oftentimes when you're not bumping into things, you might be going the same direction they are. A friend of mine injured, he wrecked on a motorcycle, and I saw him last night, and I noticed he didn't have a sling on, and I thought maybe he was doing better, and he said, no, he said, the doctor actually told me to put my hand in my pocket because the sling was pulling on his shoulder and causing it to pop out of joint. And so he said, doctor just told me keep it in my pocket. I said, but let me ask you something. When you're in a crowd, you have to be careful. He said, oh, man. He said, because, you know, we brush up against people all the time, right? You know, and for him, that creates tremendous pain. And when you go against the flow, oftentimes you're bumping into others, bumping into devils, bumping into people. And sometimes that can be difficult. Sometimes they don't say anything, you just see the look on their face. But I can't walk that way. And neither can you. Because the way of the Lord is narrow. It's the path, the way to darkness, the path is wide. The way to destruction, it's an easy path. Just go with the flow. Homosexuality's okay. It's okay to gossip. It's okay to be afraid. Well, it actually is okay to feel fear. It's not okay to be obedient to fear. Different thing. I'm not making light. Look, I love homosexuals. We've had that discussion many, many times. They are welcome here, as is any sinner. But there's a time that we have to stop being sinners and be redeemed, be removed from the darkness, turn, and walk toward him. You say, well, Okay, but if I'm in sin and I turn and walk toward him, listen, it's real easy for sin to get knocked off of you when you're walking toward the Lord. All right? Because listen to what it says. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, right? The people of Israel understood that when you moved sheep from one pasture field to another, oftentimes you had to go through a very, very narrow ravine. So narrow that you literally have to step through yourself and turn sideways through the crack in the wall. And the sheep had to go through one by one, right? And look, you couldn't get through that crack if something's holding on to you that shouldn't be on you. It just doesn't happen that way. And so, look, when you're walking toward the Lord, sometimes you've got to go through those narrow ravine passes. But the purpose of that is not just to make you go in alone. It's so things will get knocked off of you that don't belong on you. Sometimes the moment when you feel most alone is the moment that God is trying to knock things off of you that don't belong. And if you embrace that moment and you realize that he is with you, but he is right ahead of you saying, come on, come on. Just walk toward me. And I think that's what the Lord wants us to take away from today. You see, because he is ahead of us. And yes, there are some giants between us and him. But he's looking at you and saying, hey, come on. Put your eyes on me. Don't look at them. Look at me. You can do this. You can walk. Here's what you need for today. Okay, catch it. Oh, you dropped it. That's okay. I got more. Here, catch it. Oh, you dropped it again. It's okay. Here's some more. Okay, you got it. Now use that. All right, now walk toward me. Now watch what happens. I'm telling you, it says that Caleb drove from himself, from his land, the enemies. Do you know what that means? That as he approached them, fear overcame his enemies so much so that they ran from the possession that was Caleb's. There's a mark that is on the man, the woman of God, that releases a frequency around them that even evil responds to when the Spirit of God is on you. You say, well, I don't know that's true. Stop it. Would you please read your Bible? When Jesus went into a land, devils would bow down and say, please, I'm paraphrasing, please don't crush us, man of God. Son of God, please have mercy on us. Why do you think they were yelling that? Because he was emitting the frequency of heaven. And listen, when my eyes are on God and his light is shining on me, I am emitting the frequency of heaven so much so that, but I've got to take a step toward my giants. And when I do, I'm telling you, they are dealt with. Because there's a place that God wants to get me to that they can't go. It's the possession that he promised me. It's my land of promise. And in order to get there, I have to take out the giants that are in the land. And that's exactly what Joshua and Caleb did. And I'm telling you, there's going to be a lot of people around you. Hey, look, the ratio was very simple. It's 1 out of 6. 1 out of 6 who called themselves the people of God, of those spies, made it into the promised land. And I'm talking about the ones that actually went and spied out the land, who actually saw the fruit of the land. They couldn't deny it. Only 1 out of 6 made it. That ratio is not very good. Now, the beautiful thing is today we have the Spirit of the living God. And if you're willing to be led by the Spirit of God, I'm telling you, you're not only going to make it, but you're going to prosper. But you've got to be willing to go after your giants. We're coming into a season of no play. This is a season where God is requiring us to grow up, to put on our big boy, big girl pants, and no longer play mamby-pamby Christianity where I can dabble in sin and I can mess around and toy around with the garbage that's out in the world, that I can look like the world, I can just call myself of Jesus. No, those that are called by the name of the Lord, it will be they who humble themselves and pray and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways, hear from heaven, he will forgive our sin, knock it off of us, and then we will go in and we will heal the land. We'll displace every giant that is in the land. Are you with me? If you agree with me, bang your hands together and stand up. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I need some help here for a second. When we were praying this morning, Somebody shared a scripture that I said, oh yeah, that's good. I could use that. Who was that? Debbie, what was the scripture? Yeah, most of them are, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so Jesus was sitting at the well. And there's this woman who many would have called a sinner. I don't think Jesus looks at you based on your behavior. That's what darkness does. Darkness calls you a sinner. Jesus calls you a friend. See, I know this. I know this because while I was still yet in sin, he called me a friend. And all he said for me to do is just turn. Just walk toward me. It's that simple. Listen, if you're here and you're turning and you're walking the wrong way, it's okay. He's not mad at you. He's not pointing at you, calling you this or that. He's just saying, just turn. Just walk toward me. I'll knock off everything off of you. If you just keep walking, you'll go through enough ravines. I'll knock everything off. Just let it be my timing and in my way, and I'll do all that. It's that simple. But if you're here and you're not walking toward him, stop it. In Jesus' name, stop it. You don't have to do that anymore. And I'd like everyone just to close their eyes and look, and if you're listening or you're watching, please hear me. This is for you. You're here with us just as if you were sitting in one of these seats, whether you're in your car right now. I see someone on a sunny day listening to this message in their car, and you've just been crying because you didn't know what you were going to do with life. And I'm telling you, somehow you turned on this message. Somehow God just made it so because he wanted to touch you with these words that he loves you. And he's just calling you to turn and just walk toward him. He'll help you deal with the giants. He'll provide for you. He'll knock the junk off your life that's holding you back. He'll do all of that. You don't got to worry about that stuff. And if that's you, just all you need to do is just say, and just say this with me right now. Just say, Jesus, I turn. I stop. I turn. And I turn to you and I step toward you. You know, and maybe that's all the strength you have to do, and that is more than enough. Because I promise you, if you take a step toward him, he runs to you. How I know that? Because that's what he did for me. I just took a step toward him and he ran to me. He took me up in his arms and he said, Brian, you're my son. I love you. I don't call you bad. I don't call you a sinner. I call you a son. You're my son in whom I'm well pleased. And I said, Jesus, I haven't done anything yet to please you. He said, me being pleased isn't about how you behave. It's that you've given me your heart. And now we're together. And I'll make everything else work out if you just continue to do your part, and that's walk toward me. See, and if you do that, if you've just done that, then I want you to just do this. I want you to just go, just smell. Because the aroma is about to change in the room. The giants that once stunk and were repulsive and frightening to you, all of a sudden, they take on, what is that? That smells like fresh homemade bread. And all of a sudden, instead of running away from the giants and being afraid of them, you're running to them and you've got a little bit of saliva going down the corner of your mouth. Your mouth's watering because they now are the very thing that it's going to become your bread. Here's the thing about eating giants for lunch. Charlie Coker, my good friend, my brother, said this to me one day. We talked about COVID, and he said, I eat COVID for breakfast. Some people say, well, he's just arrogant. Well, it's only arrogant if it isn't true. He came back from New York. We were up in New York together. He came back from New York, and he had a fever, and he had the sniffles. We prayed. We just said, Lord, we just take the pin of Holy Ghost, and we just pop every one of those, any virus, flu, anything that's on you, we just pop in Jesus' name. So he just felt it important to go get tested. Symptoms are there. The test is negative. Here's the point. The point is, because you're walking with God doesn't mean he removes the giants from your life. He allows them to be in your life. Because he's giving you bread to eat. You say, well, brother, back that up. Okay, I'll give you two scriptures. David in the Psalms said, and my God prepares a table before me in the midst of my enemies. Now, what we've pictured that is somehow God brings food from somewhere else and puts on that table. But could it be that actually the preparing of the table before God in the midst of your enemies, that God is saying, here, let me position those giants a little differently. Let me lift them up from your land and place them on your table. Because they're bread for your eating. You say, well, okay, what about New Testament? Okay, see if this sounds familiar to anyone. Father, give me today my daily bread. Father, there are two kinds of people. There are those who are walking that way, who the giants are to be feared and run from. There are those who are walking this way who see the giants as their bread. May we be a people. May I be a people. Say that. May I be a people. Does that mean you have multi-personality? If I'm a people, skip that, sorry, rabbit trail. And no, we didn't catch that rabbit. So, all right, may I be a people. I got to say it that way. May I be a people who call giants my bread, because my eyes are on you. And there's a different appetite. There's a different aroma that's in my nostrils because I'm following the Spirit of God. Just close your eyes and lift your hands up to the Lord. Matter of fact, let's just do this as a prophetic gesture. Everyone turn this way and hold your hands out. Everyone. Now, if you really want your giants to be your bread, here's the promise. You're going to see your giants. They're going to become very evident. I mean, they're there whether you notice them or not. Wouldn't you rather know your giants there and have the power to take your enemy out and eat them for lunch? And if you want that, if you want God to make your giants your bread, then just turn. And then just take one small step forward. So Father, bless them. Keep them. Lord, we say that every week, but I feel it more today than I've ever felt it before. Father, bless them and keep them. And Father, as they step toward you and they lift up their gaze upon you, keep your face shining upon them and lift up your countenance on them now. Let your light brilliantly shine over them. Let your peace fill their hearts as their appetite shifts, as their nostrils become tuned in to the smell of bread that is in front of them. For these people like David, are going to be known as giant killers. These people will be known on the earth as sons and daughters of God. Why? Because they're led by the Spirit of the living God. Bless them, keep them, make your face to shine on them, lift up your countenance on them now, give them your peace and your grace. Make them, Lord God, eaters of bread, and the giants are their bread. In Jesus' mighty name, and all the people of God said, amen. City Church, go and be blessed. I will see you next week. Oh, if you'd like some bread, come get some.
Thanks so much for listening to the City Church podcast. Listen, if you want to listen to more episodes, you can reach us at www.citychurch.us. And remember that this podcast is listener supported. And so if you would like to donate, go to the City Church website and click on I Give at City Church. And you can find a easy way to give online. Again, this is Brian Higbee. I would like to thank you so much for listening to our podcast. I hope you have an amazing and blessed week.
Can you give me a hug? Am I still on?